Lou finds it really frustrating that I'm one of those guys getting to that kind of age. The TV gets louder, the subtitles are on, and if there's water running in the background or any other kind of noise going on, almost impossible. Although you may also know there is another kind of deafness husbands are famous for, which is maybe even worse, where you can be hearing perfectly well, but you're not really listening. And so words like, "Would you please take out the garbage?" just don't seem to register. Or sometimes more significant messages than that about a frustration perhaps, or an emotion perhaps, or an important deadline, and the words just wash over the top. Maybe, in fact, you know what it's like, maybe you're already drifting right now. Some guy talking up the front and it's just blah, 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 blah. They're just words. Here in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is talking about the whole nation of Israel who are hearing without listening. And it's time, he says, for them to sit up and take notice, which is what Jesus means when he calls out the words in verse 8 at the end of the famous parable, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, here's the thing I think we often miss when we're reading a gospel like Luke. It's got a historical setting, which is in a way a political setting. It's got a setting in the unfolding story of the whole Bible, of Israel waiting for their Messiah king to bring God blessing again, but also a track record of just not listening. So, what if he comes, the Messiah they've been waiting for, and they don't listen again? Jesus, as we saw last week, just isn't dancing to their tune. And neither was John the Baptist calling the people of Israel to repent. Who wants to listen to that? Now, though, things are picking up. Jesus, as you read there, is working his way through cities and villages, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, verse 2, and he's picking up something of a following. He's an itinerant preacher going from place to place, and he's actually doing okay, to the point where in verse 4, there is a great crowd gathering, and people from town after town are coming to hear him. Maybe things are turning a corner. Maybe there's going to be a groundswell of support, which is where Jesus provides what is, in a sense, a reality check with a story that's usually called the parable of the sower. And yet it's not about the sower at all so much as about the soils. It is a parable, in fact, about God's word and how the people of Israel are going to receive it when it's sown on them, which might, in the end, ask some questions about you and me as well, but it's got some other work to do here in the context first. So let's take a look. It's a simple story, which, if you've got any rural heritage at all, is still played out in the same way, or was, until just a couple of generations ago. My dad and his brother used to run a seed and grain business for farmers in northern New South Wales, and this was their logo. You can see it there, a little bit better there. Campbell Brothers Selected Seeds. And the farmer, I mean, retro even back in their day, but still on a small farm, it was something you'd do. They called it broadcasting a seed by hand, which back when Jesus is talking, is pretty much the way you do it all the time. The farmer, verse 5, planting his seed by hand, seed which lands, as we heard, in four very different kinds of places. So here's the story, as Jesus tells it, from verse 5. A sower goes out to sow his seed, and as he sows, some of it falls along the path and is trampled underfoot. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with the seed and choked it. And some fell in good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So that's the story, simple enough. Four soils, three out of four times bad results, except for that little bit that falls on the good soil, it comes up and yields a crop 100 times more than was sown. In other words, Jesus says that's how it is when you're a farmer. Most soil just doesn't take the seed. Most soil just doesn't produce a crop. Our daughter-in-law's dad is a grain farmer near Dalby in Queensland. This year's sorghum crop got mildew. I kind of like the weeds and the thorns in the story. It degraded his crop to half what it would have been worth otherwise. Hundreds of thousands of dollars down the drain. Who'd be a farmer? Because when you plant the seed, so often goes wrong. Although, in the parable, when it does take root and grow, the payoff is huge. At which point, again, as he finishes the story, Jesus calls out this, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, you see, here's the weird thing. That little sentence there at the end turns out to be the key to the whole thing. It's funny with parables. Scholars and Bible commentators, you know, they write books. And generations of pastors have huge fun trying to decode parables and find the secret hidden meaning. Parables, they say, are like riddles. They've got a heavenly meaning hidden inside an earthly story. Well, parables, they say, are the way Jesus illustrates to make things really, really clear. Which gets weirdly contradicted by what happens next. Because the disciples, you see, follow up straight away with question time, ask me anything in verse 9. And the lesser known disciple, Tim, says straight away, what does it mean? And no messing around, Jesus actually tells them what it means step by step. That it's all about sowing the word around Israel, which is exactly what he's been doing. And he says all about you, my disciples, and them, everybody else. The hearers and those who don't or can't or won't hear. Verse 10, look carefully. Because it's not saying what you'd expect it to say. We expect Jesus to say, I'm talking in parables so that people understand me better. But it's the opposite. He says, I'm going to explain to you guys because you've been given access to the kingdom. But for others, all they're going to do is hear riddles. Look at his words. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they're in parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Which is really quite a quirky thing when you think about it. Riddles so they may not understand. Seeing so that they may not see. Hearing so they may not understand. It's actually a loose quote of Isaiah chapter 6, which you can see on the screen. How good is that? This is what Isaiah says. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, says Isaiah, here I am, send me. And the Lord says, go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their eyes and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. See, Isaiah volunteers to go and preach to Israel and God says, what's the point? Because their hearts are so hard and their eyes are so blind and they're so hard of hearing. It's not the kind of deafness hearing aids will help. So Isaiah goes to preach to them in a sense just to confirm their guilt. It makes them block up their ears and eyes even more. It is a judgment on Israel that's confirmed by the way they refuse to listen. And Jesus, it seems, is saying, watch, because it's just the same now. Verse 11, you'll have to follow here. The seed is the word of God, which means all of this is about hearing the word. And so the story, the farmer, the four kinds of soil he's planting in, he's not planting a wheat seed or a barley seed or a corn seed. He's planting a word seed. And the word that he's sowing is that Israel's king has come. Repent. Turn back to God. He says, watch what happens. The ground is hard like the pathway. The devil snatches the seed away before it even germinates. Verse 12, that's the part. He says, they hear, but the devil comes, takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. That's Israel. The other stuff that gets in the way, even the ones in the villages who hear it with joy, full of enthusiasm, maybe there's no root. Seed sown on the rocky soil. And Jesus says they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, as soon as there's any pressure applied, they'll be gone, fallen away. Which we'll see as Luke's gospel unfolds, as we keep reading in the gospel. That's what happens to even the 12 closest. Verse 14, those thorns, they hear, they respond, they look keen. What happens? Choked by life's worries, choked by life's riches. We're going to meet a guy just up ahead in Luke's gospel, chapter 18, a rich ruler, keen to follow Jesus, but even more keen to hold on to his stuff, choked by life's pleasures. It's interesting, isn't it? Two ways the word gets choked. Either things going badly, you've got too many worries, or things going well. And the growing seed gets choked out by the riches that come and the pleasure that comes and how busy it makes you to be successful. And finally, then he says, the seed on the good soil, you guys, he says to his disciples at that point, the seed that makes it all worthwhile. See, as Jesus tells this parable, the crowds are coming and he's preaching the same word to all of them. But in most cases, just going to bring judgment because they just don't listen. They just won't listen. That's the kind of place the land of Israel is, except for the good soil, people who hear the word and retain it, hold on to it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Those in the words at the end of the parable who take notice, when Jesus says those words, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, do you notice, and I hope you might have noticed as Tim read for us earlier, some little bits in bold right through the rest of the reading, a little thread that continues. Verse 16, it's another parable, a mini one. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. There's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. So he says, take care how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Weird little story, but Jesus is saying he's not going to let them hide in the dark much longer. It's all going to be brought out in the open, nothing concealed, so they'd better listen now before too late. Again, same metaphor, seeing, not seeing, hearing, not hearing, finishes the same way. For Israel, this is a turning point. Therefore, take care how you hear, because how you are is all going to be exposed. Now, interesting, Ingram asked the question last week at question time, when will the patience of Jesus run out with these Pharisees and rulers of Israel? Are they just going to get away with it forever? Good question. You see, pressure is building up. That's exactly what we're meant to be asking. I think they've got God all figured out. But in the end, they're going to lose it all. Taken away. It's what Jesus says. So take care how you hear. It's the same message one last time in verse 19. Did you notice the theme? Little string of pearls, all with exactly the same point. Jesus' mother and brothers have come to see him, verse 19. They can't get near because of the crowd. And someone tells him, verse 20, your mum and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. Have a look what he says. Same thing again, verse 31. My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. They're the ones who will be standing with Jesus. As you see, it's very possible, isn't it, to physically hear some perfectly well and do absolutely nothing about it. Which is not so much a hearing problem as a doing problem. Again, it's a theme right through the story of Israel, Old Testament and New, that Israel just keeps looking without seeing, listening without hearing, because they're so distracted by their successes in their good times, their trials in their bad times, just got no time left for their God. Besides which, of course, the devil just keeps swiping the word away from in front of their noses. He says, hear it, grab it, do it. Back to Ingram's question last week. Is Jesus ever going to reach the end of his tether with these people? Because the story in Luke unfolds, and instead of listening to him, they kill him. And then the story continues in part two, Luke's sequel in Acts. After in morning church, we're tracking through the second half right now. And the apostles still spreading the word. It's almost an exact match with the passage we had this morning in Acts 13. Preaching the word, sowing the word. The same things happen. As Paul preaches around Cyprus and then Galatia. Turns out the Jews don't want to hear it, but Gentiles do, until Acts chapter 28, when you get the same quote we saw before from Isaiah chapter 6 all over again. The Jews in Rome have ignored the message one last time, and Paul says this. It's in Acts 28 from verse 25. If you're a note-taking person, just scribble it down and look later. Paul says to them, the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah, go to this people and say, you will indeed listen but never understand, and you will indeed look but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, he says, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. See, in a sense, there's the answer to Ingram's question last week, right at the end of the story. Israel won't listen. The Gentiles will. Do you reckon Paul is being just a tad over-optimistic there? So here's the thing. You're a Gentile. Are you listening? You should be. So what are we meant to do when we hear the parable of those four different soils? Let me tell you what you're meant to do. You're meant to say, gee, I need to be really careful how I listen, Jesus. Because his words aren't just an ear test, they're more of a heart test. Israel kept failing. Seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, verse 15. Now, what's a noble and good heart going to do with the words of Jesus? Hear the word, retain the word, and by persevering produce a crop. So I want to ask you tonight, how's your hearing? More important, how's your listening? Glance back through the chapter and let me finish with a practical recap. Verse 12, don't let the devil snatch the word away. You're meant to listen and believe and be saved and bear a crop. Don't be so easily distracted. Verse 13, don't just hear God's word with joy the first time and then cool off as soon as times get tough. Tough times will come. Persevere. Keep going. Verse 14, don't let life's worries, or equally, life's riches and pleasures, stop your listening. Because in verse 15, you're meant to hear the word and retain the word and persevere in the word until you produce a good crop. So hear well, verse 18, consider carefully, think about it. And most of all, when you do hear God's word, do something about it.